Hello, Mr. Amos. After meeting you and learning about your story, I thought others might want to meet you and hear some of your story as well. First, what is the purpose of this website?
Well, first, I want to thank you for doing this. The website was established to provide information and insight that will lead to both moral and criminal investigation. In my opinion, the deceitful, fraudulent, and illegal actions taken over a long and horrible period of time that led to the confiscation and destruction of our family's farm, home and business, heirlooms, and personal belongings.
According to your website, you purchased a farm in Ashland County, Ohio, in the mid-1970s, and shortly thereafter, while attempting preparations to start farming, you realized that there was an area of your farm that you would have to develop differently.
We realized after digging a drainage ditch for farming that we were in a mineral deposit of peat, so we changed our priorities.
Then apparently you gave up the idea of farming that area and began to prepare for a peat and soil business at some point.
Yes, after an experienced contractor we had hired to drain some of the land informed us that we might not be able to monetarily run a profitable standard farm operation in this type of geographical area. We then began research to determine what we could do with this area of our farm that contained the mineral peat. We had our peat product evaluated at Richland County Soil and Water by Larry Ault, who wrote us a letter stating that it was peat and recommended that we have specific testing done at Ohio Agricultural Research and Development in Wooster, Ohio for confirmation and specific analysis. AORDC confirmed Richland County assessment, and we also acquired a California soil test and others.
How long were you in business, and how or why did Ohio Farm Bureau get involved?
We had been in business 13 and a half years and had added machinery and started a soil bagging operation employing about 7 people. We were shut down by U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the fall of 1992 on a false report of placing fill in a wetland. We fought a personal, political, and legal battle on our own for about 4 years, establishing a 100-letter paper trail and debt for legal fees totaling thousands. In 1995 or early 1996, an Ohio Farm Bureau member working membership drive came to our farm and after hearing our story stated that Ohio Farm Bureau was looking for a potential property rights violation such as mine in order to strengthen Ohio property rights laws. I joined the Ohio Farm Bureau as a member and in October of 1996, the Farm Bureau and the Amoses signed an agreement with their stated purpose of helping me with my private property rights issues involving regulatory taking and setting precedents in Ohio to strengthen state of Ohio property rights laws.
Why were legal agreements needed for a private property rights legal battle when both sides would potentially benefit?
The agreement we signed contained loan and mortgage statements and Ohio Farm Bureau self-imposed monetary help. The Farm Bureau stated that their Board of Trustees wanted to be sure that if we won the case, the Farm Bureau would get refunded for their monetary investment and that my wife and I would not settle a case without their approval because of other Farm Bureau objectives.
How was your takings case resolved? Did you have to go to court?
My takings case was never resolved. No paperwork was ever filed in any court of law on my behalf for a private property takings, partial takings, compensation for monetary loss, or any other injustice that I had suffered.
What happened or for what reason did Ohio Farm Bureau and the law firm decide not to take action or pursue your case?
A case went through the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. in January 1997 that had been filed in 1993 by the American Mining Congress against the Army Corps of Engineers, which challenged their incidental fallback rules. The American Mining Congress won in this court challenge with the court ruling that the Corps of Engineers' rules were unjust, unlawful, and manifestly unreasonable. The Corps of Engineers had never received approval for these rules from the U.S. Congress. They had used many of these same rules to shut down my business. This was just 3 months after my wife and I signed the loan and mortgage agreement with Ohio Farm Bureau for the purpose of fighting our property rights issues and to accomplish their objectives.
Why did this particular case affect your situation?
After the court's ruling in American Mining versus Corps invalidated the rules that had been used to shut down my business, the law firm felt that I still had what they called a colorful case, but no longer wanted to pursue the case on a contingency fee basis. The Ohio Farm Bureau now decided that the court's action had established some precedents and no longer wanted to pay expenses in my case to recover my losses. This was the purpose my wife and I signed loan and mortgage agreements with Ohio Farm Bureau in the first place.
So if nothing was ever done in court on your behalf, how did Ohio Farm Bureau get such a large legal debt against you?
Even though a case that was significant to my case had already been settled in favor of plaintiffs declaring rules and regulations unlawful and unreasonable, Ohio Farm Bureau and the environmental attorney continued to have me prepare new haul roads for a peat harvest, add more equipment, trucks, pumps, and refurbish equipment for a more viable, productive restart of the business, especially in the eyes of the court. Meanwhile, they did research for preparation for our case. This ran up a huge debt in the loan and mortgage sections of agreements. They stopped all financial help just before we could harvest the peat for continued production and sales.
This sounds like a period of great letdown and anxiety for your family. What went on in the meantime before Ohio Farm Bureau started court action against you?
After my wife and I signed loan and mortgage agreements in 1996, Ohio Farm Bureau paid $25,000 fee to the law firm of Bricker & Eckler to file a lawsuit in my private property takings case. The final rulings on motions and appeals in the American Mining versus Army Corps case didn't come down until June of 1998. The Farm Bureau didn't know for some time after this if the Corps of Engineers would ask for the case to be heard by a higher court, but the Corps did not choose to do that. I corresponded by phone, letters, and in person with Ohio Farm Bureau and the law firm about my case. Bricker and Eckler were sending copies of takings case research to both myself and the Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau regularly sent an elected trustee to check on business progression and executive personnel to inspect and record our business records. I spoke in person to Ohio Farm Bureau State Board of Trustees about my takings case and informed them that while a significant American Mining case may have been settled, nothing had been done by anyone to resolve my issues. The environmental attorney and others were present. I was now serving the Ashland County chapter of Ohio Farm Bureau as township trustee and county government affairs chair. I was in Columbus quite often for meetings. I resigned from all Ohio Farm Bureau involvement after first foreclosure filing.
When did the first court action actually start?
Ohio Farm Bureau informed my wife and I in possibly late 2001 or for sure in early 2002 that they were not going any further with pursuit of my so-called colorful potential takings case and that they intended to accelerate certain conditions of the loan and mortgage agreements to recover all the funding from Amos's that they extended to fight property rights for their benefit and ours. They told us that we would need to find a new place to live and documented that they intended to foreclose and sell our home and farm, which at that time we had owned and resided in for 28 years. The Farm Bureau hired the world's largest law firm and filed foreclosure action against us in late summer of 2002. This was approximately 4.5 years before the legal contracts even expired.
Your case apparently didn't end there. It's a long time from late summer 2002 to early summer of 2007.
No, it didn't. Through a reputable attorney, we filed an answer and counterclaim and was supposed to have a pretrial hearing in 2003. The Farm Bureau took our depositions, but we couldn't afford to have the Farm Bureau deposed, so we had to go to pretrial without what lawyers and courts call a written witness. Instead of a pretrial hearing, Ashland County Court Judge Runyon awarded Ohio Farm Bureau a summary judgment, and sheriff's sale was scheduled for our property immediately. By some legal maneuvering and a mistake by the court, the first foreclosure ruling was dismissed. The Farm Bureau refiled the same foreclosure complaint again in late summer 2003.
Let's see. Ohio Farm Bureau then paid attorney fees to world's largest law firm and spent the next 3.5 years to take your property. Were there court actions ongoing all this time?
The attorney that represented my wife and I during this case filed numerous counterclaims and motions on our behalf that were all grounded in state statute or case law. Several of these actions were taken to the appeals court and some to Ohio Supreme Court.
So in summary then, what do you consider was the first illegal event that resulted in serious consequences?
Without a doubt, it was the court-ruled unlawful and unreasonable regulatory shutdown of my business in 1992 that lasted more than 4 years. This caused the loss of business stature and extreme financial difficulties, both business and personal.
What would you consider was the next stone on the path of possible deceit or fraud?
The next stone would be the deceptive and fraudulent enlargement of mortgage debt on our property and business by the Farm Bureau for the stated and legally agreed purposes of fighting property rights, which never happened. The business stayed down for another 3 years for a total of 7 with no monetary compensation in sight for the Amoses.
What attitude by Ohio Farm Bureau gave you the impression that things were not going by original legal contracts and stated purposes?
The Farm Bureau did a complete reversal of their own stated purposes. The examination of facts and court documents will show that deceptive, fraudulent, and untrue statements were made from the beginning to the end of Ohio Farm Bureau involvement, which resulted in what appears to be a dogged determination to remove us from our property and destroy all our equipment that had been used in the peat business.
What do you feel were at least some of the negative or illegal factors contributing to the loss of everything you had and owned by court rulings?
My wife and I were denied our guaranteed constitutional day in court that every American is entitled to. By this time, we were an elderly, retired, and financially distressed couple that could not fight the size or monetary power of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Because of finances, we were unable to depose Ohio Farm Bureau executives. In my opinion, their very unscrupulous attorney from the world's largest law firm, Jones Day, put a twist and spin on every fact in our case to favor Ohio Farm Bureau in the eyes of local judges, appeals court, and Supreme Court judges in Ohio.
At this point, I think it would be reasonable to assume you are still hopeful of another outcome of your case.
Yes, I am. A great miscarriage of justice has been accomplished here. The facts of this case that has been borne out on this website will testify to this reasoning. I hope that in His love and mercy, God will intervene and provide a way for all the inequities of this case to be exposed. This would benefit all citizens of the United States of America that are being denied rights by the courts through powerful monetary persuasions, including, of course, our family. Our website seems to be extensive, bold, and regretful of sagas that brought out truth of how and whys. Still, all deceit and corruption are not shown, and there is more to be told. Somehow, I believed, and somewhere I heard, there was liberty and justice for all. Where in America do I find this justice?